I'd like to see them excited. Luke chapter number 5. We'll start in verse number 12 this morning. We've preached the last two Sundays in Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. We'll start in verse number 12 this morning. Luke chapter 5, verse number 12. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, for the song service. Lord, I know the devil's trying everything he can, Lord, to infiltrate this morning. But in the name of Jesus, Lord, I bind the devil off this place. Lord, he has no right here, no room here. No one here wants him. Lord, I bind him off the minds and hearts of your people. Lord, I ask you now to just cover this place with your blood this morning. We want to hear from heaven. Lord, help us open up your word this morning and glean and take something home with us, God, and apply it to our lives. Thank you for what you've shown me. Now, Lord, just use me as a messenger to deliver your message this morning to your people. Lord, what an honor it is to be able to do that. And Lord, let your people hear from you this morning, not from me. God, I just want to be a vessel. Lord, help us now. Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your spirit this morning. Allow me to preach with boldness and clarity, Lord. And Lord, let your people receive what it is that you would have for them this morning. Lord, just meet with us and we'll thank you for it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Luke chapter number 5, verse number 12. The last couple Sundays, we looked at Peter and how the Lord got on his boat and how his faith, he was able to see great things. But today I want to continue in the chapter. The Lord has kept me here and I'm going to stay here as long as he keeps me here. Amen. I believe it would be right to do what the Lord wants us to do versus what I want or think. Can we kill this microphone, Brother Dave? This one's still on. Thank you. Luke chapter number 5, verse number 12. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, he being Jesus, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." What a bold statement. "And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priests, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." Can I say, today there are still people that have infirmities. But can I also say that Jesus is still the same miracle-working God that he was in the Bible, what we're reading about today, that he has not changed. He's still available, and can I say this, he's still able to do abundantly above and beyond what we could ever ask or think, amen, according to our Bible. God has not changed, folks. But this morning, I want to see five things this morning out of these short scriptures. Number one, we see that Jesus was in a certain city. I believe, just like you and I ought to be living our lives into 100% obedience and submission to God, I believe God was leading Jesus where he wanted him to go. I believe that with all my heart. You say, why do you believe that he was God in the flesh? Well, near the end of his life, you'll read where he was in a garden sweating great drops of blood, and his flesh was beginning to, he was beginning to be anxious, and he was saying, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But he said, nevertheless, not what? My will, but thine be done. I believe that God had a certain place for Jesus to be all the time. And I believe Jesus was so, yes, he was God in the flesh, but I believe he was so in tune with God the Father that he knew exactly where God wanted him to be when he wanted him to be there. And I don't think he ever argued about where God wanted him to be. No doubt there were times you can prove biblically Jesus got tired. Jesus tried over and over again to get off into a far place to be alone with the Father. But right after that, there'd be multitudes of people coming. Listen, if we are in submission to God the Father, he is going to make it known where he wants you to be, what he wants you to do. It might not be known right then what you're going there for, but see, that's where we struggle. Well, God, if you want me to go there, you're going to have to give me a reason why you want me to go there. Can I say, there's a lot of stories in the Bible that I love to read that we would not be able to read today if Jesus had said, you know what, God, I don't think I need to go there today. We wouldn't be reading about Lazarus. We wouldn't be reading about the rich man. We wouldn't be reading about the blind man. We wouldn't be reading about the deaf man. We wouldn't be reading about all the miracles. We wouldn't be reading about a little lad who just so happened to be passing by that day, and Jesus just so happened to be there. I don't believe that was coincidental. Folks, I believe that was a godsend. And I believe here today, number one, we have Jesus in a certain city. I don't believe it was a mistake that he was in this certain city. A lot of times, can I say, the Lord is going to have us in a certain place at certain times for a certain reason. You read through your Bible, that word certain's in there an awful lot of times, but you got to understand, the Lord is going to have us in certain places at certain times for certain reasons. It's up to us to obey and be in that certain place when God calls us to be there. And can I say this? If God very plainly calls you to be there, you say, how will I know it's God? Well, God's not the author of confusion. If you're confused, let me just make it clear to you. It's not God. God is not the author of confusion. The devil is never going to tell you to go do the Lord's work, by the way. Y'all okay with that? He's not going to encourage you to go tell someone about Jesus. The devil's never going to have you standing in line at Walmart or putting groceries in your car and say, hey, go help that elderly lady put groceries in her car. I remember one time we were in Anchorage. I think we were in Anchorage. It might have been in Prattville. I can't remember. But I told one of my boys, the Lord, I have my hands full. And the Lord prompted me. I had a couple boys there. I said, hey, go help that lady with her groceries. Put them in her car. And they said, well, why do you want me to do that? I said, I don't know, just go help the lady. She looks like she needs some help. And I'll tell you what, when they got done, the lady looked at my son and she said, son, there's not a lot left like you anymore. I really appreciate your ability to listen and the way you were raised. And you know, she complimented him. And she even, I think she even gave him a $20 bill. And I mean, I said, you know, he tried not to take it. But she said, no, I want you to take this. You did something that most people will not do. You know, we ought to be more available as Christians. Did you know that? We ought to be more available to what's going on around us. It's easy for us to sit back and complain about everything that's going on around us. I mean, here we are, 2024. We know what's coming up in November. What is it? It's an election. It's easy to sit back and complain about all the things we would do, what we wouldn't do. But hey, when's the last time you just prayed for the officials that are there? When's the last time you just lifted your president's name up to God? Listen, God can save the rich man. God can raise Lazarus from the dead. God can save the president of the United States. His hand is not shortened that he cannot save. God can save the lowest of the lows and the highest of the highs. He can save the drunk on the street, the beggar in the ditch. Listen, he saved me. He'll save you. He can save them too. But listen, why are we as God's people always just sitting back complaining? What if you would lift them up to Jesus? What if you did that? I dare you to lift your president up to Jesus. I dare you to lift your vice president up to Jesus. You know why you don't lift them up to Jesus? Because you don't believe God's capable of changing them. I'm just being honest. You'll lift your children up to Jesus because you believe. But oh, when it comes to big things, God's just not that big. Hey, the last time I looked, God took 5 small loaves and 2 small fishes and fed 5,000 men, the Bible says. No doubt there were women and children present too. You do the math on that. It was probably more like 10 or 15,000 people present that day. The Bible says 5,000 men were there. Men. Y'all okay? And not only did he feed them, those doubting disciples had enough for each one of them to take home at the end of the thing. But we don't believe God's capable of saving just another sinner. Take a long look in the mirror when you get home and remember who you used to be. And maybe you'll change your mind and realize that God is capable of saving a sinner. He's capable of saving the lowest of the lows, and he's capable of saving the highest of the highs. The drunk on the street, I mean, listen, the rich in the palaces, the poor and unlearned, and the man of degree, they all have a soul in need of salvation. But here it is, church, they all have to come by Calvary. It sure would be good if we'd start lifting our officials up to heaven, wouldn't it? Be good if we'd realize God has us in certain places at certain times. Why does God have us in Red Level? Well, because there's people in Red Level that don't know Jesus. And God knows that we can reach them. But we've got to pray for them. You want to see our schools changed? Pray for the principal on down to the lowest of the lowest toddler that's in there. Do it. Lift their names up. If you know their names, call their names out to Jesus. You might not know all their names, but hey, you can say it. Hey, I pray for these teachers. Lord, please give them grace to be able to stand another day. I could not imagine being a school teacher in today's age. With the lack of discipline in the home, and by the way, parents, that's your fault and my fault. The lack of discipline, you send your kids to school, the teachers can't control them, they can't tell them to be quiet because there'll be a lawsuit. I couldn't imagine being a school teacher. You know what those school teachers need? They need us as a church to pray for them every single day. Because they're dropping like flies. Schools are getting desperate for teachers. Y'all all right? And we wonder why. Well, if our homes were as desperate for Jesus as our schools were for teachers, boy, that'd be a whole different story, wouldn't it? We need to include Jesus in more stuff. Romans 6:16, the Bible says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Can I say, you know, Jesus was in a certain city. He was obedient to God. We should learn to be obedient to our God, should we not? James 1:22, the Bible says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." It's one thing to know what the Lord wants, but it is another thing to do what the Lord wants. You know, I guarantee you, many of us could quote, probably many of you could quote more scriptures than I can. And that's not saying much, because I can't quote nearly enough as I should. But here's what I know. There's a lot, you know, I had a preacher tell me one time, it's not the things in the Bible that I don't know that bother me, folks. It's the things that I do know. You know, we know that Jesus Christ died. How many would agree with that? We know that he died. We've heard it from a child. We know that he was buried. We know that by the power of God, he rose himself up from the grave. We know that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. We have a head knowledge of that. Oh, yes, I know. But do you know him? Do you know him? You can know all that stuff. And just like the rich man, the Bible says, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. The rich man believed in God. Folks, the devils believe in God. Y'all all right? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you the truth. I'd be a fool to not tell you the truth. We know a lot of things, but the Bible says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." It'd be real good if we start taking all these things that that God has given us and applying them to our everyday lives. But you know, here's the average Christian. Instead of worrying about themselves, while preaching's happening, you're sitting there thinking about somebody else. Boy, I hope they're listening right now. Let me tell you something. That's the devil bothering your mind because you need to be listening right now. I'm just telling you the truth. I've been there. I tell you all the time, you know what I miss? I miss getting preached to, Brother Scott. Because it does my soul good, Brother Blake. To when a preacher stands up here and tells me, "Hey, you're doing wrong, son. You ought to get that right." And I'll say it again. If you're thinking about somebody else, hey, the devil's already captivated your mind. You better resist that and start thinking about you this morning. Because you can't change them and they can't change you, but you can change you with the power and help of the Holy Ghost. "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." The Bible says, "Deceiving your own selves." Can I say everyone wants to experience reaping abundantly, but so few people are willing to be obedient to God. Well, you know, there ain't one of you in here that if I would say, "Hey, I wonder how many of you would love to just know that everyone in your family is going to get saved, they're all going to die, they're going to go to heaven, they're going to live eternally with Jesus." There ain't a single one of you that wouldn't say, "Of course I want that." Well, what are you doing to help that? What are you doing to encourage your wife, husband, to carry on and to finish strong and to finish well? What are you doing to help her carry on to be a good mom? Hey, let's flip the script. Mom, what are you doing to encourage daddy to keep on going, to keep on standing strong, to let him know that you're behind him and you're cheering him on and you're in this thing together?
Children, what are you doing to encourage mom and dad? Or are you constantly just rebelling and giving them a hard time? But let me flip that script now. Parents, what are you doing to encourage your babies to carry on for the cause of Christ? When's the last time we prayed with our children, prayed for our children, lifted them up to Jesus, encouraged them to be involved in their local church? Let me tell you something. Statistics say children that go to church just out of habitual, they have to go out of habit. Parents make them go. Parents never get involved in church. Can I say, you need to get involved in your local church somehow, and sitting in the pew is not being involved in your local church. You need to find a ministry that you can dig in. You want your children to stick to church after they're 18, and you don't force them out of bed. Here's what you do. You teach them to find a ministry that they can fall in love with, and you let God burn their hearts over it. And you ought, it ought to start in you. Don't be that parent that says, I don't have time to stay extra. I don't have time to go encourage a young person. I don't have time to go knock on a door. I don't have time to teach a class. I just don't have time. Listen, your kids ain't going to have time for God someday. And you're going to be wishing to God that you would have listened to preaching like this. Amen. Folks, you better have time for God if you want them to have time for God. I thank God every day that I married the wife that I did. Because I'm going to tell you something. I wish I could love the ministry like she does. Y'all all right? Amen. I thank God that he gave me a wife whose mom and dad raised them to love the ministry. Not over their family, but raised them to love the things of God. When there was a potluck, you know what mom and dad thought was important? That they were there cleaning up trash and sweeping floors and taking trash to the trash can and putting tables away and putting chairs away and making sure that the church was ready for the next service. But you know who was right there with them? Mom and Dad. Don't just tell them to go do it. Daddy, listen. Go do it with them. You want God and church to be important to your children, Daddy? Show them that it's important to you. Mama, same thing. You want them girls to learn to love the Lord and to be involved in the church instead of just asking the preacher and everybody else. Listen, you get involved in the church. Show them that it's important to you. Because just as much as I wanted to please my daddy growing up, and listen, my daddy wasn't in church. You know, I did things that I shouldn't do that I thought I was getting closer to my daddy. You know what I'm talking about. I would do things that I knew wasn't right just to get his approval. Folks, listen, it works the other way too. Your kids want to please you. Nobody said amen. Your kids want to please you. And guess what? If they say, you know something? Mom and dad really do care about this church. Mom and dad really do care about this ministry. You know, I'm talking about little things. Like, from at the end of a service, you walk through, and if there's trash on the floor, how many think that's important for that trash to get picked up? But how many of us do it? Whoops. How many think it's important for the books to be put back where they should go? It looks good, don't it? But how many of us have done that? We get done, we pray, and we walk out the door. And we expect somebody else to do it. And usually it'll get done, but not by you. But what happens if you say, hey, honey, come over here. And don't be asked. Don't have to be asked. Just take your little girl and your little boy by the hand and say, hey, honey, you see that piece of trash right there? Why don't you pick that up and let's put that in the trash can? They might say, well, I didn't do that. No, but honey, this is the Lord's house. And we want to respect it. Teach them to respect the house of God. Teach them to respect the house of God. So many people want to reap abundantly, but so few people are willing to be obedient. If you be willing and obedient, the Bible says you shall eat the good of the land. That's in Isaiah 1:19. Number two, in this certain city, we see a man with a problem. His problem was leprosy. Leprosy, also known as Hansen's disease, is a long-term infection by the bacteria. Infection can lead to damage of the nerves, respiratory tract, skin, and eyes. This nerve damage may result in a lack of ability to feel pain, which can lead to the loss of parts of a person's extremities from repeated injuries or infection through unnoticed wounds. An infected person may also experience muscle weakness and poor eyesight. Leprosy symptoms may begin within a year, but some people, sometimes symptoms take up to 20 years to occur. But can I say, this man had a serious problem, did he not? Boy, I'll bet you, back to point number one, I'll bet you this man with a problem is sure thankful that Jesus was in a certain place. You know why God put Jesus in that place that day? Because there was a man with leprosy that was going to be there that needed to meet the Savior. Number three, we see the man that met the problem solver. This man met Jesus that day. In Psalm 55, verse number 22, the Bible says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Can I say God wants us to cast our burdens upon him? Boy, the devil sure makes you feel guilty sometimes, and he says, you know, you've been doing this so long, you really think God's going to listen to that? I'm going to tell you something. God loves a repentant heart. God loves somebody that will come and humbly bow their knee and say, "God, I messed up." And that's when them ears turn on. It said, "Whoa, what? I know that voice. That's one of mine. And God, I'm so sorry." And it's just like the picture of the father coming back. He's standing there with open arms. "Go kill the fatted calf." Put a ring on his hand. A robe on his back. Hey, that's the God we know. They just sang about it. That God can still move mountains. Amen? We see the man met the problem solver. In 1 Peter 5, 7, the Bible says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Jesus really does care about his children, but not only that, he cares about what his children care about. Boy, isn't that amazing that we have a God like that? "Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." Here in the scripture, we find a man with a problem. Can I say, the man met the problem solver. Amen. And if you're saved in here today, you have met the problem solver. But listen, I'm trying to introduce you, if you're lost, to the problem solver this morning. I'm trying to introduce you to the problem solver for those of you who are saved and have an issue in your life or in your home. Can I say, the same problem solver that healed the leper is the same problem solver that'll help you today. Amen. Amen. Listen, he hasn't changed a bit. Who are we to believe that God has changed? Number four, we see the faith of a man with a problem. This one hit me pretty hard. The faith of a man with a problem. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm living on the mountain, life is easy, right? You guys know that song? Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. Oh, but then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. Here it is, the God of the good times, he's still God in the bad times. The God of the day, he's still God in the night. Folks, that is the God that we serve. That is the God that we serve, and he never, ever changes. But here, we see a man, the faith of a man with a problem. Listen, this man had a serious issue. The lepers, they were cast out of the community. They were sent to live by themselves. Why? Because that stuff was contagious and it spread like wildfire. This man probably hadn't seen his family and Lord knows how long. Could you imagine being cast away from your own wife and children and away from your family? Can't go to work, can't go to worship, can't do this, can't do that. But oh man, he wasn't cast so far away that he didn't hear about Jesus. You know what this is another picture of? That God will lighten every single man that is born. Man, isn't that good? He was cast out from everybody, but somehow he still heard about Jesus. And I'm so thankful Jesus was in a certain place with a certain man with a certain problem. But what I like the most about this leper is he hadn't been healed yet. And he said, Lord, if thou willst, thou can make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. You know why the response was so quick? I believe with all my heart, Jesus saw this man with no doubt in his mind. He knows I can heal him, and he believes it. He isn't just saying it. This man believes it. It's kind of like the sinner's prayer, as you like to say. I don't believe in 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, salvation. I think that's contrary to the Bible. I just don't believe in it. I believe in taking someone in the Bible and showing them that believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that God hath raised him from the dead, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. Amen. You're never ever going to sit someone down and say, just repeat after me, honey, and you'll be saved. Don't do that! Amen. You're lying to them. You're just damning them to hell is all you're doing. Because they're going to get up off their knees and they're going to believe that they repeated after you, and that's what saved them. A prayer has never saved anybody. It's not biblical. Folks, we got to be careful. But I see the faith of a man with a problem. It sure would be good if we had the same faith in the valley as we do on the mountain, wouldn't it? You know, mountaintop faith is easy. It's so easy to have faith when things are going good, isn't it? Bank account looks good. Bills are paid. Kids are doing good. Pets are doing good. Cars ain't broke. But man, when the valleys come up, now we got to spend some money that we don't have. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Someone passes away. We get bad news from the doctor. You know what I'm talking about? The valley. Why does our faith waver? It's because we simply don't believe that God is the same on the mountain and the valley. But folks, let me tell you something. I'm real thankful it don't matter what I believe, because God is the same on the mountain as he is in the valley. Amen. It doesn't matter what Drew believes. It doesn't matter what you believe. My God never changes. The problem is your faith wavers, and my faith wavers. And folks, whatsoever is not of faith, we learned it in Sunday school, is sin. Amen? We start to doubt God, but can I say that God has never changed? In Hebrews 13:8, go with me there this morning. Hebrews 13 and verse number 8, I want to show you this. We're almost done. Hebrews 13 and verse number 8. Look at this. When you're there, say amen. The Bible says, Jesus Christ, say it with me, church, the same yesterday and today and forever. You know what that means? The Bible said Jesus never changes. So guess what? For you to believe that he does, the Bible says let God be true and every man a what? A liar. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what you think. Jesus never changes. But can I say this? Jesus never fails. Never, ever fails. Matthew 21:22, the Bible says, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. I wonder how many of us believe that God is capable of doing what we ask him to do. I can't imagine, or I sit back and I think of the times that I have prayed and got up off my knees and felt the same way I felt when I went down on my knees. You know the problem with that? There's no faith in that prayer. That prayer was just nothing. Nothing. The last time I checked, God is still a miracle-working God. Now, here's what we do. We get mixed up. Well, God, you didn't answer that prayer quite the way I think you should have. Look, you ask for his will, and it shall be given, right? When you pray by faith, you get up off your knees and you pray by faith, and you are okay with the outcome. no matter what, because you left that in the hands of an all-knowing, all-powerful God. But why don't we ever receive? Well, because we weren't like this leper. We just did not believe. We just do not believe. I think it would be good if some of God's people would get together and say, hey, let's start praying together. Let's meet together and just pray once a week for our families, for our nation, for our homes, for our church, for our community, for our school. And let me tell you something. Eventually, that old verse, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, you're going to start seeing it avail much. You're going to start seeing more kids get saved. You're going to start seeing more families, homes healed. You're going to start seeing God the centerpiece of your home. Your home's going to come together like God designed it to. You're going to start seeing your children have a desire to serve the Lord. You're going to start seeing those around you see a difference in you. Listen, God listens to the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. But you got to believe what you're asking. God, this is broke, and I don't have the means to fix it. Sure do wish you did. Hello? Ain't that how we are? We just doubt. And all of a sudden, you know, someone will come along and you'll get the opportunity to do this, do this, do this, do this. And meanwhile, you just pray that God would help you. And you might miss out on what God was going to show you in that situation. See, we get up off our knees and we say, okay, God, I'm giving this to you. I want you to provide. You said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus, right? God can do it according to what? His riches, right? He can. He's still able. I can do all things. Listen, he can supply it, right? He can do it. But then we get up and we're like, okay, who can I do this? Who can I go ask this for? Who can I do this for? Who can I? You know what I'm saying? And then we end up in debt. And we end up like, and all of a sudden, and little did you know that God had somebody over there that he was going to use to come take care of you. Y'all with me? Well, we missed that because we go to our way. We didn't really believe that God was able to do it. But the Bible says, in all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And number five, we see the result of faith. This man's faith resulted in him being healed. Amen. I'm thankful that this leper had faith enough to make Luke chapter number 5 so that we could open up and read and preach and teach about it. I'm thankful that him being a leper, he could have been pretty discouraged, dude. I don't know, how would you feel if you woke up tomorrow with leprosy? How would you feel tomorrow if you woke up with the big C word? Would you still be in church next Sunday? Would you be in church Wednesday night? Or would you be a victim of circumstance? And today, be on the mountain. But tomorrow, choose to live in a victim valley the rest of your life. Because why? Because the God on the mountain wasn't big enough for the God in the valley. Folks, that's not my God. And if you're saved by the Holy Ghost, that's not your God. He is able to carry you through. The result of faith was healing for this man. Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God, here it is, for he that cometh to God must, what, church? Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This man was rewarded because he diligently sought Jesus and believed that he could heal him. You notice the very first thing he said to God when he saw him wasn't, good to meet you, good to see you. No, how you doing, where you been, why didn't you come here sooner? Man, I've been sick, you just don't know. No, it wasn't any of that. It was, hey, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Man, what a man of faith. And guess what Jesus said? I will. Why? Because he believed. Miss Barb's going to come this morning. I'm thankful this morning for the man in Luke chapter 5. I'm thankful that Jesus was in a certain city. As she plays this morning, I wonder if the Lord has spoken to your heart. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. No one looking around.
Listen, I wonder, as we shut this live stream down this morning, listen, this altar's open. You know, God is still a God on the mountain. He's still the God in the valley. I wonder this morning if you would say, Brother Drew, the Lord spoke to my heart this morning while you were preaching, and I could stand to have some more faith. Would there be somebody here like that that would say, that's me, Brother Drew? Hey, look, there's hands up everywhere. Listen, there's an altar right here for you to just come humbly bow yourself before an almighty God. Listen to me. God desires that from you. God desires humility. Humble yourselves. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God desires humility. Folks, listen, he loves it. He loves it when we willingly come and say, God, you're the only way that this is going to get fixed. You're the only chance for my family to be healed. You're the only chance for me to stay on this mountain. You're the only chance, God. In the valley, I still got to trust that you're still the same God. Listen, God loves you. You are his children. God loves your children. I wonder this morning, would there be someone in here that would say, Brother Drew, I believe what you're saying. But I also believe, Brother Drew, if I were to die this morning, and this were to be the last message I ever heard, I don't know that I would go to heaven. Is there someone in here like that that would just be honest and say, Brother Drew, I need to know that I know that I know that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. I'm tired of worrying about that. Is there anyone in here like that? Listen, I don't want to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. I would love to, after church, take you in a room by yourself and show you. If you're a young man, I'll take you. If you're an old man, I'll take you. We got some ladies that can show you if you're a lady. Listen, I just want to pray for you, and I want you to know that you know that you know. Is there someone here like that who just raise their hand and say, Brother Drew, that's me. I don't know, but I want to know. I want to know if I die today that heaven's going to be my home. Is there anyone in here like that? Anyone? Okay, listen. I wonder if there'd be some here that would say, Brother Drew, I'm saved, but it's time I start acting like it. Would there be someone here like that that would say, Brother Drew, I need to act more like Jesus? Folks, listen, there's hands everywhere. I think we could all stand to act more like our Savior. Let's stand and sing that song. What hymn number is that?